I said, we got to try to make a game that's more inclusive, that allows people to participate no matter what their fitness level or their shooting level, but it has to be formatted to where it's still going to be challenging, you know. So we do the best we can to put you in as many situations that are going to simulate some way, shape, or form something you could experience in the field. You start getting into these shot scenarios where you might very realistically take a 60 to 80 yard shot if it's in your effective range at an angle that's 35 to 45 degrees uphill or downhill. That rangefinder is not going to give you the exact number you should be shooting at in angle mode. It's flawed. I try to simplify shot sequence for bow hunters, because you start talking about transfer load and different things that the USA archery coaches, a bow hunter is going to look at that and be like, what?
There were so many aha moments from people in that discussion about, wow, you know, I know this is no limits, but they're teaching me what I should consider are my limits to stay ethical in my pursuit.
All right, this is Braden Forsyth with No Limits Archery and Alpha Bow Hunting. You're listening to Living Country in the City.
Y'all ready for your dose of flyover state spirit? Straight from the concrete jungle? Well, put down your latte and pull on your boots. It's time for Living Country in the City.
Hey, y'all, welcome to episode 74 of Living Country in the City.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized, and with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com, that's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Now, on to today's episode. After my whole 3D course bow exploding debacle, I figured I had to be at least a little bit lucky, because if I'm going to blow up a bow, at least I'm doing it in the home of one of the best bow shops in the country, No Limits Archery, out in Denver, Colorado. While I was there, I got to sit down with the man himself, Phil Mendoza, as well as Braden Forsyth of Alpha Bow Hunting and Back, for an unprecedented two episodes in a row, Mr. Brian Horton of Fit for the Hunt. We got a chance to sit down and talk a little bit about the Alpha Bow Hunting Challenge, as well as Alpha Bow Hunting in general and the programs they offer, and how new hunters can really start investing in themselves a little bit more so they can see more success in the end. So, hope you all enjoy episode 74.
So, we are here. What's the official city?
We call it Denver.
We'll call it Denver.
Yeah, we're kind of in between like three cities here. It's actually just county based, but call it Denver.
Okay, Denver works. Here in Denver, Colorado at No Limits Archery, my second time today, as I'm sure everyone that has listened to the past two episodes knows why.
Dry fire.
Well, I was going to say back by popular demand, but, you know. He weaseled his way back into the podcast. I got Mr. Brian Horton.
Greetings.
Also, sit next to Phil Mendoza and Braden Forsyth.
Yes, sir.
Got that right. I'm impressed.
You did.
I'm
it's only been like 35 seconds since I told you, so
well,
it's good you can remember.
I've got
that
the memory of a goldfish at any given time.
You and me both, man.
But yeah, we're hanging out in No Limits, another episode of Living Country in the City. I want to talk a little bit about shooting mechanics and just coming in as a new shooter. And then we got the Alpha Bow Hunting Challenge. We got a couple events actually coming up this weekend as of recording it. This is May. Crap, it's already May 29th. Jeez. That's what happens when you take a 3-week road trip. It just disappears.
In 4 more days, he's got another alpha.
No, I'm very well aware, man. We're looking forward to it. That our first event was May 5th and 6th, and you know it was a good start to the year because the group of people that came out just it seems like we had a handful of new shooters at this last event, and it just everybody's attitude, everybody's kind of demeanor, joking around, but having fun and really wanting to get better. You know, it's laid back and it's lax, but at the same time, you know, people have it in perspective. They have their perspective pretty well set, I would say.
There's a very good balance there of intensity and then also competitiveness, but camaraderie and everything there. So it works well. I think it's developed into something that's going to keep growing because of that. So
nice. Well, we'll hop into that into Alpha next. One thing I always like to start with, though, is Brian, you've already kind of given us a little bit of your story, but if you guys could maybe just really quick give us kind of a general idea, how'd you get your start in hunting and the outdoors and shooting and all of this?
Yeah, so this is Phil. I started rifle hunting. My dad, you know, he come to this country illegally in the early 70s, and I'm not embarrassed to say that just because anybody who knows my dad, he's established himself as more than a good member of the community, and you know, owns 3 successful businesses. He's, you know, he gives back so much all the time to the community, and he taught me. He learned from some guys that when he was here that took him out. And he taught me as a youngster. It took me out when I was really young. Rifle hunting primarily, we got into that really heavy. And then I started archery hunting after college, seriously.
So were you raised here in Colorado?
Born and raised here in Denver. It's been since 2009 that I opened up No Limits Archery. And, I mean, it's been fun. It's been a challenge because I work. This is my second job. My primary job is with my family. We have a family-owned demo and excavating company, but it's that passion project type, you know, that, but to see it grow to where it's at now, it's just an awesome feeling to be able to sit back and reflect a little bit, but not get too comfortable because these guys know me. I'm always grinding. I'm always thinking about what's next, what we're doing next, and we need to try this, we need to do that. So, but to go back into the hunt story, man, it's just been, I was blessed to have a father and a couple uncles that really, I mean, my Uncle Ben and I, we used to, he's only 10 or 12 years older than I am, so he was the youngest of my mom's siblings, and he was an animal. I mean, you know, high school wrestler, he just, we used to get out and trek the woods and we would cover miles in one day that some people cover on a weekend, you know, hunting now. And I wouldn't want to say anything or complain, and I think he didn't want to say anything and complain. So we would just get after, and that's how I learned. I mean, in my teens and in my early 20s, and like I said, fast forward to now, it's been the guys like Braden that I get to hunt with now, and you know, we've hunted a little bit with Snyder and some of the other guys, but it's... I feel blessed, man. The people that we have around this community in this area are top notch. So,
absolutely. I mean, this whole road trip was initially inspired by wanting to cruise out to Colorado and just, you know, it's been. I mean, I haven't been here. I've been here a couple of times for like I'll fly into Denver and then like here for a day to do something for work or whatever it is. But haven't really been here since I was a kid, and you know, I've gotten the chance to meet some freaking amazing people in the industry, and half of them are out here. So I'm like, well, shoot, can't think of a better place to
We've got a pretty good epicenter of bow hunting here. It's actually really nice. It's grown quite a bit in the last 5 years or more, but it's becoming very, very popular and very, very front runner kind of sport around here. So
well, and you guys at No Limits are
the antithesis of a lot of that. So you need to pat yourselves on the back.
Well,
we can continue the love fest here because, Phil, a lot of this is you're doing, man. So you're proud of it.
I appreciate that. I really kind of have to, you know, give the credit to the people that have continued to see some of the things how I wanted to see it, and they've supported and got involved and got their hands dirty and joined in, and guys like Braden that, man, made a career change earlier this year to come work for us, and it's something that we don't have all the answers, man, but we're not afraid of trying stuff and working hard, you know. So I would say that there's a handful of good hot spots in the West, right, where there's a good congregation of just strong industry community people that are looking to grow what we are, and I definitely would put, you know, this Front Range, kind of Denver, up and down the Front Range in general, as one of those hot spots. I'm just happy to be part of that community because there's a ton of great people around here. So, but you know,
I mean, that's a good lead into to kind of my history in hunting and the outdoors. If I grew up, dad, parents didn't hunt, wasn't in the family, kind of not one of the things, talked about it a little bit, but I just had this pull for it. You know, I played sports, so it'd be in football practice, and my friends' dads would be taking them out to go hunting, and I'm like, man, that sounds, I really want to do that. Well, fortunately and unfortunately, I guess, either way you look at it, I was pretty good at football, so I went to school and played ball for a little bit, and when that was over, it's kind of like, Now I've got some money of my own. I can kind of do my own thing. Let's figure it out. And I went and bought a bow. And that was down the rabbit hole from there. Eventually, I was fortunate enough to meet people like Phil and meet people, you know, along the way that have really, A, inspired me, B, educated me, you know, and just taken me kind of under their wing to learn and grow. And I'm just thankful for those people because I think that's a lot of the stuff we run into is guys just looking for, you know, guys coming into the sport or getting new to the sport, looking for that information or looking for those people or that group to even grow with. So I was fortunate in that I got the opportunity to meet these people and be a part of it. And like Phil said, I've kind of made it my life now and hope to see that grow and
Don't let this guy sell you short. A lot of the racks on the wall behind us. Unfortunately, you can't see the people listening. Half of them on the wall behind me are Braden.
So I've been very fortunate. Done, I'm telling you, I've just been very fortunate, man.
Yeah, the video of the mule deer you shot last year was pretty amazing to watch. And hopefully, if there's a way to link it or something, you got to show that. It's pretty awesome.
Oh yeah, if you can, if one of y'all can shoot me over that link, I'll definitely put it up on the show notes page.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we're here at No Limits. Where did the name No Limits come from? Why No Limits?
My wife came up with the name. Her and I were sitting out talking about it, and trust me, she was the hardest one I had to convince to start this business because the pro shop I had shot at for a while, started learning quite a bit there. Bruce, the guy who used to own it, great guy, just, you know, smaller shop feel, definitely mom-pop type mentality and feel of the shop. And he decided he ran his shop for 13 years, I think, and he decided it's time to, you know, retire or sell. So he sold out, and then the new gentleman that purchased it, they just didn't have the same vibe, you know. I liked the guy. It wasn't anything against him, but it just didn't have the same vibe. Some people started to leave. And I just kind of said, you know what, it was during the downturn of the economy of all things too, right, 2008, 2009. And I just said, you know what, I got a few bucks put together. I'm going to give this a shot. So her and I convinced her and then we started talking about it. It's like, well, what are we going to call it? So I'm throwing out all different names and she says, what about No Limits? And I said, you know, I like that. I just, you know, I've always kind of had that mentality since little. I mean, of that, I want to prove you wrong, but throw an obstacle in front of me and yeah, I'm going to try to figure it out, you know? So to have that as the kind of this the main describing factor of the business, yeah, let's, you know, we need to try to run it that way. So she created the name, and yeah, I mean, got to give her the credit
for
it.
Should we go get her and put a headset on her?
Yeah, no, She'd probably give you some more dirt than anything. But no,
you definitely need to do that.
Phil Mendoza exposed.
Right. Oh man, I tell you what.
Well, she'd show up because she'd take my headphone because she'd be like, "Hey, I need you to do this, 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 this needs done. Where's this?"
She's the warden, got it. Man, for yep. sure. She's the warden.
She's the boss, man.
So, in addition to No Limits, you also head up the Alpha Bow Hunting Challenge.
Yeah.
Now, what exactly we talked? I think we mentioned it a little bit on the podcast, the Fit for the Hunt podcast, right, Brian?
We did, yes.
So maybe just from your perspective, give us the elevator pitch of what is the Alpha Bow Hunting Challenge.
So the challenge itself is a competition series that we're in our third year of running that event, and I competed in ASA archery for 5-6 years, and from an amateur I worked my way up to the pro class. So I spent a lot of time learning that game and learning how to strategize and playing that game. I had also started playing the Train to Hunt events around 2013. Really enjoyed that. It was much more Western-based. But there was still a lot that intimidated people in any type of archery event, right? The national level 3D stuff, it was intimidating to judge yardage. The big events, that big platform, a lot of people didn't like that. Train to Hunt, a lot of people I saw were trying it once, and there was a lot of things that, whether they weren't physically ready or they weren't shooting on par or it was just too intimidating. So as I'm thinking about it, I really liked adding the physical element to shooting from a pressure standpoint. So I said, we got to try to make a game that's more inclusive, that allows people to participate no matter what their fitness level or their shooting level, and just make it fun. But it has to be formatted to where it's still going to be challenging, you know, to a certain extent. Or show you how that this can really help you in a high-pressure situation.
Well, people aren't going to be interested. If it's too easy, people aren't going to be interested. If it's correct. Too hard, you're going to lose a lot of you're going to lose a lot of the wider appeal.
Correct. And that's where when we started the game, and honestly, Braden and I and Aaron were, when I was on my sheep hunt in 2015?
Yeah.
2015. We were sitting on the mountain and we were talking about just the different events and what would be cool if we tried this on an event and we tried that. And there was some great ideas and concepts that got thrown around. And at the end of the day, it was just one of those things. It's like, you know what? I'd like to try this, you know, and I've never been afraid to put myself out there, and whether I lose money or I fail at it, if it's something that I really think it's got a potential, I'm going to give it a shot. So we gave it a shot. We ran an event in 2016, the first event. Brian came on board since the event went with us with the Fit for the Hunt, and we you know, kind of titled the Throwdown and had a little workout there. And it was really good because the event itself is, I would say, 75-80% shooting, the Alpha Bow Hunting Challenge, and about 20-25% physical. I'm still very much, I like to get after it physically. And I know that a lot of the community did. So I said, well, Brian's event is just that extra, that next level, right? Dial it up a little bit more. Challenge yourself a little bit more on the throwdown. The shooting element still kind of a little bit more on the primary side of the, on the Alpha Bow Hunting Challenge. But the people, the community, the feedback, it was great, man. It's just 3D based, hunting based, shooting with the day pack, 25 pounds. I really feel that if you can't shoot your pack on or shoot your bow with a 25 pound day pack, you're probably not preparing yourself for Western hunting very well. And so we just tried to add as many elements that would be beneficial, but we got rid of the yardage judging. Everything was marked yard. There is a yardage judging or two station where you can judge for bonus points. But I really wanted to cater that type of event very much into what we started this year, more so with our workshops, to be shooter choice, right? Not everybody's at the same accuracy capability. Not everybody's at the same physical capability. People need to know their limitations but not accept them as their limitations. Know their capabilities but not accept them as their limitations. So we would have situations where you have a 33-yard target and a 50-yard target. And you get bonus points for the longer target, but you look, it's like, well, I know I can make the shot on the closer one. So I'm going to shoot the closer one. So really trying to get people to think about their effective range, how to maximize strategy, you know, how to really play a game, have fun at it, but really, you know, test themselves. So there's a lot of different nuances of the game that a lot of people probably don't think about them in as adept as I do, but it was all in the origination of the event really started from trying to make it more inclusive, trying to get rid of the elements that did that it intimidated people, and then get some shooting with your heart rate up a little bit, you know. So that's kind of what that that's how it started, I guess, or what the reasoning for it was.
So generally, how do you guys see this translating then into a hunting situation?
Oh, directly. And it ties very well into the seminars that Phil's developed too, that we've been putting on. It's kind of that alpha umbrella that of coaching and teaching, of getting you as close to that situation as possible without being in it. Because really, you can't put yourself in there unless you're hunting, and we're pretty limited on that unless you're, you know, some of these guys that get to hunt year round. Fortunate guys that I dream of being sometime, but so you got to put all the aspects into place, right? Like judging yardage or in certain aspects, or shooting with an elevated heart rate, and you do it to a point where.
Wait, does your heart rate get elevated during hunting? Does that happen? Is that a thing?
Occasionally it does. But
I mean, not that I would know, but.
But being able to, you know, what does your pin look like when your heartbeat's going, whether it's from physical exertion or just an adrenaline dump, or, and this is going to sound really weird, but I was out here yesterday by myself shooting 3Ds just to shoot, and I was working on stalking techniques and that kind of thing, and just from the tension of stalking gets your heart rate up, because your muscles are striving for oxygen because you've got them in awkward positions. That takes your heartbeat to get that oxygen out. Well, that elevates your heart rate. What does your pin look like when your heart rate bumps up a little bit? It's not the same as standing in here in your flip-flops and, you know, just shooting at targets. Oh, this is nice, you know. I can shoot out to 80 yards and hit an apple at 80 yards. Well, when your heart rate's a little bit elevated, a little bit of pressure of any kind, that apple looks a lot smaller than it did, you know, at distances. So it ties directly into that. But trying to find that balance between, you know, I don't want to say overdoing it, but just giving people at all levels a taste of what that's like, you know. So it's not the first time that they've seen it when that bull elk comes walking out, or there's that big muley or whatever it may be. It's not the first time they've seen their pin go from ass to tip, you know, to nose, you know. They're like, what's happening? And you're like, oh, wait, I've never seen this before, you know. They actually have some sort of reference for that, you know.
Midway USA brand product designers have one straightforward goal: develop high quality, technically sound products and deliver them to customers at reasonable prices. If you are immersed in the shooting sports industry and pay close attention to every single detail, you know our products are built right and stand up to everyday use. Who has shooting mats and range bag systems to hunting clothing and just about everything for the outdoors? Log on and shop 24/7 with super fast shipping. MidwayUSA.com.
Yeah, if I could make the simulation of if anybody's had the leg tremble when they're standing on the side of a
still do, right?
Animal comes and you're sitting there in an awkward position, all of a sudden the leg that usually, in my case, a couple of times that is handling the majority of the weight just starts to tremble and shake to where it seems like your whole body is convulsing just because of the nerves. I mean, you sit and think about it. Stand on a hillside with no pressure, you can stand there for a while and have no issues. But you start to have that adrenaline and that fatigue that starts to happen because of everything else that's going on. And you like Brandon said, we do the best we can to put you in as many situations that are going to simulate some way, shape, or form something you could experience in the field. But there's just no way to really duplicate it, you know. So to give people as much of a taste as we can, then it's perfect. In an ideal world, I would, and nobody would come to the event. Right? But if I ran the event, and then the second, the 3D kind of qualifying round that we do, if I had everybody, I was the second portion of that, sit them down in a classroom setting and actually have them write down and quantify, because that's what we'd really do in our workshops, is help you quantify and organize situations and what you can experience. If I can sit them down and say, okay, target one was this, how do you feel you did? You know, write down your target two is this. What did you take from this target, right? Maybe you shot it great, but okay, target three was this, the distance judging or the the target choice. You want to shoot the further one and the closer one. You chose to shoot the further one. You didn't shoot it as good. What did you take from that, right? A little bit higher pressure situation, and you didn't shoot as good. So all those things, people really overlook the small details. And once you get all those small details figured out, then that's when you can really start to take steps forward in advance. Because, and I say it in our seminars all the time. I said once I started writing things down as a competitive archer and understanding and outlining and evaluate, reflect on it and then project to the next practice session. It's like, I did this. I didn't do this so good. I need to work on that better next time. Okay, so then before I'd start the next practice session, I'd open up my shooting journal and I'd say, the last time I really needed to work on this, oh, I almost forgot about that. And I start working on that first. So then I start to do that, and it's like, well, all those things that you overlook and you forget, and you get to an event or a hunt or something, you're like, man, I should have worked on that more, or I should have done this more. You don't have those regrets anymore or those second thoughts, because if you structure things a certain way and you evaluate and, again, project what you need to do and you, I don't want to make it sound like it's so much homework to shoot a bow and have fun and get ready for hunting. But, hey, man, if you want to be successful in anything.
We're going to call it a sport. Treat it like a sport. Yep. And there's training methodologies in all sports. And the structure to those training methodologies is the baseline, right?
Yeah.
And that's all that he's done is bring a structure to it for people to follow, because people just come in and shoot. And that's great, shoot your bow, but that structure, if you don't have that, you're not getting the full potential out of what you're doing.
And Brian can attest on the fitness side.
Totally agree.
You know, the fitness world is so much far advanced than everything else, right? Or than like bow hunting, for example, right? We're looking at two different industries. But in fitness, why has CrossFit grown to the realms that it has? Why has powerlifting, you know, why has that been so big? It's an Olympic sport. You know, there's so many different avenues into the fitness world that each one of them has its own structure and methodology and direction and platform to get you to the highest level. Bow hunting doesn't really have that, right? Archery has structure and coaching from an Olympic archery side, and then in the bow hunting world, it's kind of like we're left to figure it out, you know, on the fly. And if, like, you know, we talk, if you don't have a dad or an uncle or a grandpa that really knows the right way to go about doing things, and nobody, I wouldn't say the right way, a good way about going about things, then, man, it's like we're setting ourselves up for failure, you know? The industry itself, and this is one of my main kind of goals and focuses is that whole, you know, as a pro shop, we can set somebody up with a bow great, you know, get them measured properly and set their pee pipe right and make sure the bow's not too overbowed for them and give them the kind of the basics, but then we may not see them again, you know. And sometimes people come back around a lot, or they'll partake in leagues and other things and shoot regularly and then ask questions, but not everybody does that. And then to think that those people are going to head out into the woods and they've never shot broadheads, they've never tuned broadheads, they've never tuned their bow, you know. They don't, all those things that you overlook, and they're like, you know, my broadheads are hitting 6 inches left at 30 yards, I'll just hold off. Those are too many things for you to think about, right, when you're in the woods.
Truth, you're trying to calculate
bad
that.
News. Right? So the structure is really lacking, in my opinion, and that's what we've tried to do with some of the workshops and the seminars, and then I've created this whole online coaching platform that it's structured to take somebody we've got a level one, we've got an intro series, then it kind of progresses into the second series, and then the third one, the third class, the building blocks, is kind of what we talked about with the big workshops we've been doing, which it gets more into quantifying your effective range, how actually mapping it out, and then using math and using as much as we can your accuracy, the constants to figure it out, and then organizing into some methodologies to help you quickly remember certain scenarios and stuff. And it's just, at the end of the day, if you sit back and do a Cliff Notes version of it, to me, it's very simple. I can explain it to somebody in 3 to 5 minutes. But if I don't take you 2 steps backwards and explain to you how I came to this and how we came to that, how you plug yourself into the next portion, and then you progress, then you're really not going to truly understand. If something is missing or you need to fix something, you're not going to have the same knowledge base to say, I know how I can fix that now because I understood how we got there in the first place. So It's been good, man. It's been fun. The whole Alpha umbrella with the events and the workshops, and then having the facility here that we have at No Limits to be able to teach people there. I wish this was my main job, man. I wish this was my full-time job, because there's so many more things I'd like to do, because I know that we're offering value to a lot of customers. So it's just it's been fun, man. So from the events to everything else, it all has a purpose, I guess.
You know what, regarding Phil's comments too about the seminars, I've been bow hunting since I was 12 or 11. We're not going to tell you how long that's been, but and I took the day-long seminar, and I can tell you it was extremely eye-opening. I mean, not that I thought I knew everything, but when you add into it the kinetic energy upon impact, and you add into it the kill zone size of different game, and you add into it the range in which you are most constantly hitting, the furthest out you can go within that same group that you need to be to hit that kill zone consistently 100% of the time, and then dialing that back to add in the hunting elements to go with it, the position of the game, the speed of your arrow, the thickness of your arrow, the cutability of your broadhead, whether it's a wide cut or a skinny cut. I mean, there are so many factors that a lot of people may think of, but Phil ties it all together and almost puts a bow around it. And you could see in that class, there were guys there that have put animals down a lot, guys there that haven't killed a thing. And there were so many aha moments from people in that discussion about, wow, you know, I know this is No Limits, but they're teaching me what I should consider are my limits to stay ethical in my pursuit. Because, yeah, I can hit a bullseye at 60 yards every three arrows. Well, that means 66% of the time you're wounding that animal, you're not killing it. So should you take that shot, and do I have the kinetics and the penetration within my shot, my setup, to actually successfully harvest that animal or not? And so his education side of it was unbelievable. It blew me away. And, I mean, I would really highly recommend anybody take a chance to listen to that.
And I appreciate that, right? And it's something that it's perspective, but at the same token, when you put everything out on the table and you look at it for what it is, like, you know, like Braden, you know, on the physical side, I've hunted with him. He has no limitations, right? We've hunted our tails off and covered area and packed out. There's no limitations there. And I'm not saying Braden has limitations on the accuracy side, but because
I will.
He's taken down
relative to
his decision making, you know, where he shoots animals might be in question, like pursuing them through the mountains of Mordor.
I try to learn from everybody I'm around, because you never know everything. You always got to be learning. And when Braden and I, that mule deer hunt that we've alluded to, we filmed it and we have it up on YouTube on the Alpha Bowhunting channel, the process of thinking the approach and the stock and how should we go about it and what should we do. It was awesome, because I know my ways of how I would probably do something, and I watched somebody else do it successfully. And it's like, man, that, you know, yeah, I probably would have done this, but I might have done this different and that different. Well, he just checked all the right boxes, right? Even when something, there was a curveball thrown, same thing, just made the right decision. So to have the calm demeanor and the understanding and the perspective is what was important. Because like Braden tell you, when we were in the workshop talking about that hunt, he had to make decisions on the fly. But he's very analytical with certain things, as I am when we're talking. Because afterwards, we'll sit and talk, right? Sure. I mean, you know how it is, that the drive to hunt or the drive back from a hunt, sitting at, you know, the campfire at night, or even at somebody's kitchen table.
After we talked about the Dr. Peppers we wanted, because we really wanted Dr. Pepper for some reason after that.
But you sit and think about all that stuff, and as I'm starting to, my mind's working with how I can help other people understand that, I need guys like Braden and like Bo that can say, hey, well, yeah, we understand your framework, but maybe we should try to explain it this way. It's like, man, that's a great idea, right? Because that articulates this better. And then we take his experience. And, like, and then we've mentioned in the seminar, I've got four or five good employees here that I learn from them as much as they learn from me. And I've taken from them their hunting experiences, and I sit there and I kind of mash them together. And then all the customers that come in and tell us their success stories and their failure stories, and it's like, and I'm thinking, it's like I'm listening, as that's a great story. I'm sorry it didn't work out, or that's great it worked out. But I'm listening to the details of what they did and when they did it, and if it worked out, if it didn't work out. And it's like, okay, there has to be a way to, you can't know everything, but there has to be a way to, again, put everything out on the table and organize it as best you can, and then just try to help people understand that basic framework, that basic structure. And I heard it the other day on, I was listening to a podcast somewhere, and with shooting, you know, people practice and their process. You know, you mentioned the shot process, and a lot of people that follow some kind of a process that's okay, and then you have somebody else that follows a very good itemized, detailed, structured process. And then when both of those people need to somewhat go on autopilot, well, who's going to be the one that's more successful? The person that's very much more structured and, you know, focused on what they're supposed to be doing. Because in that situation, in the moment of truth, in that high-pressure situation, yeah, I mean, you don't think things through. You get distracted. You get, you know, sometimes lost. And if you don't have something that'll put you back into that moment of clarity, that is structure, and then put you back in a sequential order to be successful, then again, you go to the example of the person that doesn't have a very good structure, but he practices all the time. Well, guess what? In that hunting situation, your kind of scatterbrain method of practice is going to show itself out in the hunt. So that's what we're really trying to coach with what is the alpha bow hunting kind of umbrella of everything. And in the events is have some form, have some structure, have some discipline. So when you do get into those oh crap moments, and I don't want to say in a bad way, it's just you got a 200-inch mule deer in front of you and you don't know what to do or how to act, you hopefully have practiced and structured yourself well that you're, you know, as much as I hate to say autopilot, because I don't ever want somebody to feel like they're not in control. You're always in control. You're always one mental command, one verbal command, one thing that's going to put you back into a place of familiarity and direction. But in that event that you have a crappy system, you have a crappy autopilot that you're falling back on, right? You know, then you're in trouble. And that's where, like I said, I just trying to help people within that process, like Brian has mentioned, just painting the whole picture as best we can, because we don't know everything. You know, there's the last methodology that we incorporate in our workshop is meant for variables, because if you get to a situation that you still can't figure the situation out, use these three principles and start thinking about things. Put yourself back into control or a place of familiarity. So, okay, that this is very similar to this. Okay, now I know where I should go, how I should proceed. So it's been fun, man. It's just, like I said, I geek out on certain things, and I know a lot of the guys that work with me here do too.
Yeah, we do. We'll spend hours down there geeking out with each other over 5 grains of arrow weight, you know, and arguing about it like, no, that's wrong. No, that's right. I like it like
that. Wait, hunters have differing opinions on arrow setups?
And they both can be right.
We're learning so much.
And they both can be right is the crazy thing, you know what I mean? So, but yeah, I mean, that goes a lot to say to the guys downstairs. We've got an awesome group here that not only just – the educational portion or the informational portion to the customers, but educating them instead of just selling them, here's a bow, here's some arrows, go shoot, go have fun. It's here's a good starting point for you if you're just starting, or here's what I see that you may want to change or work on, and you know, those types of things. So that really, I think, goes a long way for the shop, and then continues on in that alpha realm. So,
well, and I've heard Phil talk about the fact that, like you said earlier, it's easy to come in and fit someone for a bow and send them on their way.
Yeah.
But he's really taking it to the next level, Sam, and that level is, now where do I go from here, now that I have this $1,000 piece of equipment or more, and or $500 arrows, whatever. And the alpha seminars do really start from day one, week one, if you're a beginner. And so if you are a beginner and you are looking to get into this and or at least get a decent base of knowledge, you know, I highly recommend his beginner's seminar number one, because – it really he really is going the extra yard, taking the extra step with shooters and not just sending them on their way and just churning sales out and just trying to create that baseline that other sporting events and or sports have as a beginner. Right. Where do I begin? Let me practice this, then move on and practice this, then move on and practice this. So he is treating it like a sport, and he's actually added an element of consistency to it for the beginner to start with. And so you asked in the beginning of the conversation, you know, I come at this from a I don't know anything kind of situation. If I'm new, what do I do? Well, I mean, Phil has created the platform for that, and there's not very many that I know of in this industry or shops in this industry that have taken it to that next step.
No.
He's actually creating a paradigm shift, in my opinion, in this industry by establishing what he's done.
Yeah, and there's some great resources out there from an educational standpoint. But, you know, and I've mentioned it before, guys that I've listened to their podcast or have consumed some of their information, and how I go about teaching something may not be just exactly how they do, but the thing that I see a lot of other people doing, and even in, don't take this the wrong way, right? Podcasts or YouTube videos and that kind of stuff are almost like a shotgun blast of information,
yep.
Right? And if you don't know how to take it and organize it and almost compartmentalize it or structure it to where it's like, I need this and this piece and this piece and this piece to help me here, you know, as I'm starting with my equipment. Okay. And then you get into the, what about my shot, my form and my foundation, my shot sequence. Okay. Well, I need this. And so what I've just done is just that it's our 1.0 structure is very basic. It's equipment information. It's showing you how it mounts on a bow, showing you what's some of the features are. And it's all my opinion. You know, it's some of these things are from manufacturers also saying this is what, why this is here, this is why that's there. But it's kind of it's kind of our description, I would say, as to some of the things that we sell, some of the things on the market. And then at the end of that first course, after you understand the terminology and why certain pieces are there, I start with a basic shot sequence. It's not the same shot sequence as you're going to see a on the USA Archery, kind of their Olympic level recruit. I like that process, and there's some things that actually align with what we're talking about. But from a bow hunting, I try to simplify shot sequence for bow hunters, because you start talking about transfer load and different things that the USA Archery coaches, a bow hunter is going to look at that and be like, what? What's that? Right? So if they start understanding structure and we give them a simple process to follow and they start ingraining themselves in that, for them to take the next step, and everything we coach is take the next step, always look to take the next step. And you say, okay, now I want to learn what this next process is of USA Archery, and how can I just ingrain one or two of their steps into my sequence and maybe get myself better aligned from a body standpoint or a shot execution standpoint. So I'm actually going to load another video in the second portion of our online courses that articulates the difference between our shot sequence and USA Archery. Because if you look at what is the only coaching structure out there, it's USA Archery from a certification and a coaching standpoint. And those of the people that have been through that coaching structure understand that. And I'm not trying to not align myself with that, but I'm just trying to take the target world and take the bow hunting world and kind of mesh them in between, if that makes sense. Because you need to look at the target archer from an accuracy standpoint and a technical standpoint, but how it applies and is it practical for a bow hunting perspective? Not everything is. So I try to just take a real world approach and common sense approach as to this is your shot sequence, this is why it's important, this is how you should ingrain it. And then the progression of that gets into, you know, using a tension release, a hinge release, you know, target panic, some of the other things. But I've just structured it so I can, so when you start seeing the shotgun blast of information from podcasts and other resources, John Dudley or George Riles and some of these high level coaches that are great, but if you don't have that foundation and that framework to understand, well, man, the way that I'm, you know, that I'm executing my shot with my, you know, my draw arm and my release position and how I'm actually rotating my elbow. If they're trying to coach that, and your framework sucks, you're trying to band-aid a problem. And so many bow hunters, in my opinion, need to take a step back. Not from a, hey, you suck. No, it's just understand why certain things are there. Take a step back, learn it, and then move forward. And I guarantee you'll be able to take a step or two steps more quicker or further if your framework and your general baseline information standard is good.
Well, that's like, I mean, we get a lot of guys that come in here and, you know, shooting a pull-through or a hinge, and like, I saw this on the internet, and I shoot one, and then you see him shooting, you're like, well, your stance isn't right.
Your draw length's too long.
Draw length's too long. They have all these foundational things, but they got this release that's
supposed to fix everything.
Yeah. Right? And it's like, whoa, let's back up a second, you know? And just
it's like the
you,
anti-slice golf club, right?
Well, it's like you. It's like you in the fitness world. It's like the guy who you hand him a barbell and you say, hey, go do this very technical movement. Go do a snatch,
right,
you know?
Right.
And he's like, I can't. My snatch won't go up anymore. Well, you're limited because your foundation is not right.
That's a good point.
So let's take it back to the PVC pipe. Let's take it back to get your draw length right. Let's take it back to get you in a blind bill. Don't worry about the target in front of you. Let's teach you how to execute a shot correctly again. Then we can build from there. And that ceiling doesn't exist anymore. That ceiling is gone. If they're disciplined enough to get it right in the foundation, that ceiling is no longer there.
Knives, machetes, saws, and shears, multi-tools, shovels, swords, axes, spears, hatchets, and tomahawks. If it cuts, snips, slices, or chops, Midway USA has it. Find great gift ideas in our huge selection of pocket knives and other everyday carry folding knives. Make a statement or create a family legacy with one of our top-of-the-line hunting knives. We've got a great selection of manual and electric sharpeners, too. For just about everything for the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
So if somebody was going to come in for the series of courses here in the shop, what's kind of the span of time that those take place?
So we've done it a couple ways to where we have like 55 minute, hour-long basically workshops. And to break it down into that time frame, you know, the 1.0 course, which is very much the beginner, this is a quiver, this is a rest, this is a dropway rest, this is a limb-driven dropway rest, this is a driver sight. You know, explaining the details of equipment, why they're there, and then getting into the shot sequence. I do that class in-house for free, usually a couple times a month. And I've created that class for free. That's Building Blocks 1.0 is what we do at No Limits Archery. Because, again, the customers that come in here, I don't ever want them to walk out the door feeling like, well, I didn't really understand this, or I didn't, you know, they put this on my bow, but I really don't know why it's there. Okay, so we offer that class for free. So whether we sold you something or you bought it somewhere else, come in, ask questions, learn that basic kind of, the basic principles and terminology. And then the 2.0 course gets into the progression of what is shot sequence, anchor points, release selection, release settings, peep sight, understanding your peep sight and the process within the aiming, the sequential process that should be what are you doing while you're aiming. That's kind of the second portion, the Building Blocks 2.0. And then the 3.0 gets into your tension, your hinge releases, and that kind of thing. Online, I've kind of congested it to, I just have two courses that incorporate kind of the three. Because it's just, it was easier from an in-house person. As we're doing hands-on workshops, I had to kind of limit it to one-hour workshops. So the online courses are, you can kind of see the videos that are on there, but the 1.0 incorporates a little bit more on the online than it does in-house, just because I don't have a time limitation on the online stuff. So that's kind of how it starts. Once you get past the 1.0, 2.0, 3.0, that's when we get into what's the online course that is the Alpha Bow Hunting System, that is the Building Blocks 3.0 is what we call it online. And that's what gets more into really honing your effective range, quantifying your effective range, right? That it's not just an accuracy thing. It's got to be an accuracy plus an energy plus a understanding your hunting style. So once you understand those multiple components and you spit out what is your effective range, then we actually break it down from there further and start showing you how to put certain hunting scenarios within each cluster to know. We're essentially building a playbook for you to know green light, red light when you head out into the woods. Yeah, this is in my green light. This situation falls into this category. It's a go. So
you've already made the decision before you get to the before you get to the situation. Yep. You've already made that decision whether or not you're going to take that shot. So it removes that panic decision making when you're there.
We're eliminating maybe is really really the ultimate goal. We're eliminating your maybe. Maybe creates problems.
And once you know it's a green light, then you're on. There's no question.
You commit to it, and you're and full you know, for full bore.
Well, it adds
and you
to
have
that
the process down, and you're prepared for that. So,
And there's with animals, that's like I said, the last portion of so that's kind of the major portion of it. But at the end, we introduce one more kind of methodology that in that event where maybe you've gotten to a spot where you think this is green light and all of a sudden the animal moves or turns, walks away, and things start to be fluid, right? Everything in a hunting situation is usually a fluid. So there's one more methodology we coach at the end that starts to talk about the variables. And in that event to where hopefully it's one thing that you go into this methodology and it kicks you back into your framework of green light, red light. If not, you go to the second progression. Is that enough to kick you back into green light, red light? Okay, maybe not. Maybe you go all the way to the third progression. And every one of those things is pointing you back to all the stuff that you've just worked on all ahead of time. Because like anything else, you're like Braden mentioned, you know, you're not going to go from never having done a snatch in a workout to going to a competition where you're going to test a max on your snatch or whatever, you know, you're not going to do that. So why do we do that in the woods? You know, why that's the and I'm not the, you know, I'm not the best hunter out there. I've missed, I've wounded animals. I've had situations where I was ready to cut the bowstring on my bow. Okay. It's gotten that bad for me over the years. Not the last few years, as I've started to really self-discipline myself more and start to hone in what is this structure that we're working on. Those moments of regret and why did I do this or I should have done that, those have started to go away, you know. And it's been very much more, you know, I passed on that animal. I got to where I wanted to. But I decided to pass because he wasn't big enough, or I passed on that animal because whatever. You know, I mean, I've really got more into whitetail hunting. Whitetail, you're in a controlled situation from a shooting standpoint, but the variables of animals moving around and the types of animals that are moving around, I really enjoy that. But I could have tagged out on a whitetail buck every year that I've been out hunting, and I haven't because I'm enjoying being there. I'm enjoying everything else around it. And I wouldn't call myself a trophy hunter, but I'm just trying to shoot a little bit more mature animal. So it applies to everything, you know, even in the whitetail woods. I say that it's our system is very much applicable for Western hunting, but there are still certain things you put in that type of playbook that you're creating for yourself that falls for any type of hunting.
Well, I think one thing is really important, if I may, to hear what Phil just said. I mean, that's coming from a man who's shot professionally, who's a pillar in this industry, who has just admitted there's been times when he thought about cutting his bowstring. So, I mean, that level of practice and that level of frustration, if he experiences it, I guarantee you other people or the majority of other people are absolutely going to experience it. Because I've seen him shoot. I know he pounds at least 100 arrows a day, every day before the season starts or more. And, you know, he's shot thousands and thousands and thousands of arrows. So the point is, for him to admit that, I mean, that should open the eyes of the amateur or the novice, like, wide-eyed and just ready to just absorb what he has to say. You know?
Well, one thing, and to not to argue with your comment by any means, but one thing I do want to point out with what you said, though, is shooting a bunch of arrows is it's not practice that makes perfect. It's perfect practice. So there's 100 arrows a day. Do you better than 100? Moderate, medium, whatever, mediocre arrows a day versus 50, 25 or 50 really, really good structured practice arrows, what does you better, right? And that's what I think a lot of people, especially new guys getting into it, but I think a lot of people in general don't understand. They just want to go out and shoot arrows, which is fine. It's feeling your bow. It's getting a feel for your bow. It's understanding your bow, but if you're not putting that some structure to that, you're not going to be the best you can be.
It's like swinging a golf club incorrectly 1,000 times.
Sure.
You're just going to get worse and worse and worse because you're not doing the
right
thing.
Or you go back to the snatch. Exactly. You know, you do 1,000 snatches and 1,000 snatches wrong. In my case,
you don't correct
anything. Right. It just creates bad habits.
You just make more bad habits.
You just make bad
injure
habits.
Yourself or whatever.
And,
right?
And even to take it again one step further from, you know, the years that I spent trying to play competitive archery, right? I'd say trying because even though I earned into the pro class, man, I got my butt handed to me the times I was shot there. And it was great because I got to shoot with some of the best shooters in the world. And I truly believe that the guys that can judge yardage and make a shot, which are the pro division of the unmarked shooters in a 3D type of event, are some of the best archers in the world. Because not only do they have to keep their mental game on point after they've judged the animal, then they have to make that shot and hit that bonus ring. But anyway, to go back, I started to, again, I started to write everything down, and even in my hunting situations, I'd write down blown stock, this is what happened. I mean, I sat there on my sheep hunt after I had a couple bad situations happen, and I'm writing it down. I'm at night with my headlamp on, writing in my little journal. And when I started to understand that, and I started to kind of really build and outline the framework of what we're talking about here, I started looking, I was like, man, I shot, of the last 10 animals I shot, 8 of them were from, I was sitting or I was kneeling. I only shot standing at 2 animals. And how do we practice most of the time, right? We practice standing.
Standing,
up.
Perfect stand. Yeah. Like lobs,
no way. If the wind blows, we come back inside. Like, I'm going to go back inside with you, you know?
It's like, man, I'm shooting a 34. This is a kite.
And then you just think what is, in any way, I mean, my perspective of Western hunting is you're on the ground trying to get as intimate as you can with those animals, and we're taking and we're allowing technology to, again, band-aid that level of intimacy that we need to try to, that we enjoy. You know, I would much rather take a 20-30 yard shot than a 60 or 70 yard shot all day long, you know. But that breaking the ground, shortening the distance, getting into that intimate zone, we're starting to lose it a little bit because of the evolution of equipment and technology.
Being able to shoot 100 yards, you actually lose a lot of the experience of stalking in on the animal, being in close and seeing that, and the practice and difficulty and everything associated with that.
And that's my game. I like to get close, man. I like to be right there with them. Because I'm not as good a shooter as some of these guys. B, because I just...
He shoots the bow pretty well, though. Don't let him fool you.
That's what I like, that challenge to it. And actually, I think I'm pretty good at it. I'm good at picking stalking routes. I'm good at making those moves and getting there. And that becomes the ultimate challenge to me, is getting as close as possible and then taking that animal, you know. So,
And just understanding how to take it again one step further. That, you know, you can measure yourself standing in perfect situations, but as you start to, and we really emphasize testing yourself within multiple scenarios. I mean, we have a whole section of the all-day workshop that we do where we take you outside and we test you. We're not even testing you at your max, you know. We're testing you at two-thirds of your max and still holding you to the fire to measure yourself according to that vital size that you should be holding for. And that's where, to me, like to add on what Braden said, I spent years where it was, yeah, I mean... To say that I didn't shoot 1,000 arrows some week, I would do that regularly. Just, again, repetition, repetition, repetition. I was up in the morning early shooting. I was after work, I'd go out and shoot. And it was with that end goal of mine for tournament archery. It helped me as a hunter. But as a hunter, I started to get better when I started to cut down the arrows a little bit. But I would sit there and I'd work the kneeling shots. I'd work the, you know, the odd footing shots. I'd put a chair out there and I would just sit at max and shoot at max distance in a chair to say, and I would test, I would scrutinize myself to the same degree that I would be standing that I am sitting. Because if you don't, you need to, as hunters, again, just self-regulate. You need to be ethical. You need to have the right mental capacity to discipline yourself. But at the same token, you know, with social media and everything, is that the internet allows us, as much good as it can do just as much bad, if not worse. So we just really need to understand that there's a lot of people out there that don't want people hunting, you know. And if we give them more fuel for that fire, it's bad news. So I'm just in the standpoint of perspective. Consider this perspective. Consider this structure. This is how we get there. This is why we get there. And... you know, if somebody wants to adopt half of what we coach, great. If they want to adopt 90% of what we coach, even better. If somebody wants to just sit and look at it and say, eh, I appreciate that perspective, but I want to go about it my own way, I guarantee you, after having them sat and listened to our perspective and all the reasons why we get to where we're getting, even though they may not want to follow all of the methodologies we do, they're going to at least know that they have to implement something. So, and up to this point, a lot of people just still, they shoot from the hip, you know? So.
And those are some of the same people that argue that, about it being a sport and this and that. Mm-hmm. And my whole perspective is if you're going to call it a sport, treat it like a sport. Well, train like a sport. Train like an athlete.
It comes down to this for me. You know, you're spending whatever. Say you're starting out. You know, you're spending $600 on a bow, $700 on a bow. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to go hunting. You know, so you're spending money on a hunting license. You're spending money on tags. You're spending money on gear. You're spending money on all of this so you can achieve this goal, regardless of whether you call it a sport or whatever you call it. We're all going out. You know. Okay, you know, you can say it's for conservation. You say it for, we're all going out. We want to kill an animal, you know, regardless of the experience. We want to kill an animal. And
not the wall.
It really – not sure if you all just heard that, but sounds like a shot I would make.
at least there was an arrow in it.
I'm going to give it 2 or 3 years before I – start to live that down.
Hey, at least you did it to your own bow.
Yeah, there we go. But yeah, so you invest all of this time and money and effort into this end result, but you're not willing to invest a little bit of money and time into yourself to probably do the thing that will make you more successful than anything else. It's amazing. I mean, and I'm guilty of it too. And, you know, once again, I'm new to this and I kind of came in a weird way and I'm just learning that these resources are available. Cause I kind of went out and I shot as a kid. I knew the basics of it and, like, okay, consistent anchor point, this and that. I've shot a lot of rifles. So I knew some of the stuff. It wasn't too foreign, but I just didn't know these resources existed. So I just kind of went out and did my own thing. But, taking some extra time and money to invest, well, I mean, if you consider killing an animal being success, then it will save you a whole lot of money on tags later that go unfilled.
People underestimate the amount that they invest too. I mean, not to cut you off there, but it's like you mentioned the equipment, right? You mentioned your bow, you mentioned your camo, you mentioned whatever. What about all the time away from your family? Mm-hmm. What about the time off of work? You know, and even if there's some single people out there that don't have, you know, kids or whatever, the husband's wife, that's great. Back that out of the equation. But at the same token, when you say I'm going to take 5 or 7 days off of work this upcoming season or 10 days, whatever the case is, to go hunt, how much more money is that putting in your pocket if you're at work? And some people that can take paid vacation, I understand, but there's so much money that you invest. And you know, and I charge $150 for the all day workshop. You know, and to think in this market, in this area of bow hunting and archery in general, I've been to quite a few smaller seminars, and I've been to quite a few workshops, and I've actually been through the USA Archery Certification Level 1 and 2 twice now. You know, I recerted just recently to learn the newer information. What I learned in 2008 was not the same as what I learned now, you know, a couple months ago that we retook it. So the time investment and always continue to try to learn something, like I said, is super valuable. I mean, it's a drop in the bucket when you think about it. Because and one of the main goals of our course is if I can help you create that aha moment, right? If you can discover one of them or a couple of them to where you get out into the woods and it just makes sense. It's like, oh, I know what to do here, or I know why I should do this here now. Is that not worth it? You know, is that in itself not worth it?
Absolutely.
For most people?
Yeah.
And to think that you may have just spent $2,000 or $3,000 or $5,000, or maybe you hired an outfitter and you're $10,000 into it now. And to think that, you know, $100 or $200 for some coaching isn't worth it, man, I tell you what, if I had this type of course and resource available 17, 18 years ago, whatever, when I started, I might have taken it multiple times because of... I was looking for, I mean, and just like so many people, you get started, archery and bow hunting is so addicting, man. I mean, it's such a great activity, if nothing else, right? And just the constant just wanting to hit the center of that target, and trying to figure out as much as you can. And I was hunting videos, magazines, I mean, some of the stuff that I go back and I just cleaned out my bed. I went through some of the stuff that I had saved, And it was not good information. It was not. It was entertainment, and it was great. For that token, I enjoyed a lot of it. But if I can help somebody speed up their learning curve a little bit, there's no magic pill for anything. There's a lot of time and hard work you need to put in anything you want to do good at. But somebody who's newer that didn't have a dad or didn't have an uncle or doesn't have a big brother or somebody to kind of coach them along the way, instead of you spending the next 4, 5, 6 years figuring stuff out the hard way yourself, spend some time, and maybe over the next couple years, you're going to acquire the same skill base and you know, experiences, because it's guided now. It's
speaking of the money. I mean, the money in those additional years that I spent.
Yeah.
I mean, I've gone through. I'm one of those guys that no kids, no wife. Basement's filled with hunting stuff, and I've gone through that, and I'm like,
ladies, we'll post up his Instagram handle coming up soon. If you enjoy wild game meat,
you can cook it. You can come over. But the money I spent on trinkets and this will help solve your problems, or this is going to be the next thing, or this is the money I spent on just that over the years is far exceeds any money I could have spent on education, yeah. You know, and having this resource and having something like that.
And from a student perspective, with regard to Phil's courses, don't get intimidated, man. They are very simple to follow, very easy to understand. It's very situational based,
yeah.
And you don't have to learn algebra or trigonometry or anything along those lines. It's nothing like that. Don't get intimidated.
And they all build on each other, right?
And they do, yeah. And it's step
by
step.
You're not jumping into the full crazy, you know,
the kinetic energy of a 450 grain arrow and this and that. It's all spoon fed to you, man.
Yeah, somebody could jump into the higher course if they just wanted to start there, but it really paints a better picture when you start at step one. And maybe somebody doesn't have to start at step one. Maybe they got to start at step two. But you know, it very much, the one series kind of leads into the next series, and then the next series kind of leads into the third, and then the fourth part of the pyramid is of the coaching structure. Gets, like Brian mentioned, it's very much situational based, but it's based off what you're working on within that playbook that you've created in the third course. To apply, right? Test and apply. Why we should be working on it. We should be discovering before we head out in the field what we should be doing. Again, there's always variables, but you need to have as much scripted and as much practiced before you step foot in the woods as you can, because there is so many variables that are going to get thrown at you.
I think the biggest one for me, Phil, was pretty eye-opening when I learned, based on my setup and my poundage and my kinetic energy and the arrow speed and everything that I'm carrying, what my yardage reduction is across the board from about 35 degree angles and lower. Because I'm 20 yards, I have to aim with my 20 yard less pin at a 30 degree angle shot or bigger. I mean,
Are you referring to like a cut chart and stuff?
Yeah, chart. And I mean, so that was pretty eye opening. It never dawned on me. All right, it's a 40 yard shot uphill. At a 30 degree, I got to shoot my 20 yard pin.
Yeah,
I mean, that's crazy to me. And it was like, wow, okay.
You know, and that's something that actually in the 4.0. So the 4.0 course, what I did is with the first three workshops that we've done with the in-house workshops, the all-day workshops, I allowed some of the I opened it for all the students that come in to sign up for like the progression, but it's the hands-on workshop and the building of the 4.0 courses. So one of the courses that we're actually going to be talking about next in the next webinar that comes up on that series is shot angles, cut charts, how they apply, how they fit into your shot scenarios. Because, again, my sheep hunt was something that was eye-opening to me, and I spent years shooting tournament archery, and to have walk up on a situation, and granted, it was far distance, and it was an extreme angle, and to sit there and have that animal's face in the grass feeding, and he's broadside, but he's like 42, 43 degrees on a downhill slope, and I shot 4-6 inches over his back, you know. And it's because the math formula that a rangefinder uses does not take into account all the variables that a shooter brings in. That is an arrow that does not shoot perfectly straight. It has a trajectory, you know, and how you plug yourself into a cut chart and how it leans over to a rangefinder and where that percentage of error starts to get too great to where you can't trust it anymore. And I don't know the exact lineation for everybody, but I can tell you more or less where you need to start looking at it. And where and if you're a person that's like, I'm never going to shoot anything steeper than 25, 30 degrees and anything outside of 45 yards, trust your rangefinder. You're going to be within that margin of error. You're going to be good. But you start talking about shooting at, like, you know, the hunt that Braden and I went on or the sheep hunt, you start getting into these shot scenarios where you might very realistically take a 60 to 80 yard shot if it's in your effective range at an angle that's 35 to 45 degrees uphill or downhill. That rangefinder is not going to give you the exact number you should be shooting at in angle mode. It's flawed because of it's using a math formula that's based off constants and zero variables. Trajectory is just that. Trajectory is a series of variables that your arrow is, you know. And everybody's mass weight of arrow and their draw length and how things, you know, are projected is not the same from person to person. So to think that there's just a quick way to quantify that, it's tough. So you need to know the tools that are out there and how they apply and how you can use them to be accurate.
So you know, obviously, for those that are local, it's fairly easy to come in, sign up for the course, whatever. Say somebody like myself from out of state, you know, okay, maybe I can fly in once for one of the courses, something like that. What would be a good option? I know you were saying you have some online options as well. What would maybe be a good breakdown for someone fairly new to hunting that wants to get the most, but obviously maybe limited with how often they can fly into Denver?
And this is something that that's why I created the online courses, because I do, when I was traveling out, you know, mostly on the east to shoot ASAs and traveling I traveled to quite a few train to hunt events, and the community there, I mean, I would get phone calls and emails and Facebook messages as to, hey, what did you do here? What did you do there? And it's because I took the target world and I played in a bow hunting game, and it was the right combination to show people. I mean, I'd walk to a train to hunt event, and the very first one we did, I shot 20 or 30 points higher than the next person. You know, it wasn't like, you know, a close stack. It was, and I'm not trying to say that from an arrogant standpoint, but people weren't really, they didn't know how to relate the two worlds together. So to back up to the courses, the 1.0 and the 2.0 online courses, that's why I created those, because those friends that I met and those acquaintances from these events had a lot of questions. And I actually did quite a bit of online coaching with people via Skype for years. And then I kind of let that go as I really started to work on this, because I can do the work once here and I can put it out to a bunch of people. So the 1.0 is, like, again, it's very basic. 2.0 is gets into more release execution, understanding shot sequence a little bit better, target panic, practice settings. If you really want to learn what is the bread and butter of kind of building what we're calling your system, it's the online course. It's the 3.0. That's our all-day workshop offering. We take kind of that 3.0, and it's if you go to alphabowhunting.com, you can see our alpha coaching pyramid, and you can kind of see how they're laid out. Right now, I haven't opened up our next all-day workshop date yet, just because of the busy summer with our events. Weekends are super tough for summer anyway. So I'm considering, I may do like a Thursday, Friday, or a Friday, Saturday evening type event, the next one I do. But so that would be one, if people are considering coming in for it, look at that. It's the only all day workshop we offer. It's just called the all day workshop, the Alpha Bow Hunting Way. But you can also get that course online. When you think this episode will probably go up in a week or two, or
probably about 3 weeks.
Okay, so by that time, I have an offer that I'm going to be throwing up, actually. So I wrote a short booklet called Targeting Buck Fever. And it's some story-based, it's kind of some introduction as to how I got to where I'm at now, as far as some of my stories, some of my competitive days. But I'm going to be running a promo offer that I'm going to give people the book for free if they pay the shipping. Okay, so if they go to alphabowhunting.com on the home page, by that time it's going to be up. They can click on that link, and they're going to, at least if they're not sure, they want to kind of get a taste. Well, man, pay $7, I think, is whatever we're charging for shipping and handling. Get the book for free, you know, and learn a little bit as far as some of the way that I that I go about articulating things. And if they like that, then get into some of the video courses, because the video courses are there on there as well. That's kind of how we have it structured right now. Moving into next year, Braden and I have already talked about doing some more. Once people have kind of worked through the pyramid, just like anything, sometimes there's questions. Sometimes people want a little bit more hands-on. We're going to be working with, there's going to be probably a select few coaches that we're going to be doing some more via Skype one-on-one stuff, but it's going to be very much coaching. The structure that we have is going to be based off helping you work yourself through the pyramid, work your system, work your playbook, and then give you some
personal training kind of methodology behind it. So
that's it. So we're going to be incorporating that probably winter to first part of next year with that. So that's going to kind of be the progression of the coaching structure. But yeah, man, it's outlined on alphabowhunting.com. Like I said, you can get all the courses online, or you can dabble if you want to, but that's kind of how the framework is.
So say if like I wanted to come in and like have the experience of being here and like in person, maybe do, you know, 1.0, 2.0 online and come in for that 3.0 hands-on.
We actually had people from South Carolina. We had people from New Mexico. I had people
from Wyoming.
I think there was somebody from Arizona that came to one of the events, one of the workshops. So we've had people traveling in already. Wisconsin. Yep. You know, we had Wisconsin. So there's been quite a few people travel for the workshops. But that's probably the best way, yes, to simplify that. 1 and 2.0 online is easy to understand. And then as you come into the event, we just ask that you're sighted in with, you know, as best you can be. Hopefully you're dialed in. It may or may not be the hunting setup you're looking to hunt in the woods with, depending on the time of year. We hope you're as close to that as you can be. Because we, like I said, we really try to measure you and quantify things and lay it out for you to understand, okay, I can get better directly in this category by doing this. I can get better in that category by doing that. But you really don't know unless you put everything all together and you lay it out. So that's kind of what the all-day workshop gets really into.
Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
I really like it. It's funny, you know, as we've been talking, you know, I've been thinking about just the alpha, the challenge, as well as the courses. And, you know, you look at a lot of these other events and these other challenges, and they're fitness events. You know, you look at these other courses, and they're archery courses. But these are very much like the challenge. It's a hunting event.
Sure.
It's that touches on fitness. It's not a fitness event.
Right.
The courses, they're not archery. They're really come down to hunting courses, because it's like you said, you know, you took that important tidbits from the sort of Olympic archery style, and you combine that with what's going to be useful to hunters. And I really think that's what it comes down to, and what is most valuable, and what makes you know, I guess the alpha system is mm-hmm. what you're calling it.
But, I mean, look at the game, the game in general. You know, like he said before, hunters really didn't have a structure, right? In the past, never had a structure, never had.
This is what my grandpa taught me.
Exactly,
and this is what I'm going to do.
He was one of the guys that and a lot of the stuff.
That's good, man. That's good. Alter ego for social media. I think you found one.
A lot of the stuff.
I think we know
your
alter ego.
is art as bow hunters. What I noticed, what we started to do was we started to take things from the target side. Hey, long stabilizers. Hey, hinges. He's been doing this for years. There's guys that have been ahead of that game for years, taking the accuracy and some of those primal or the primary things from that target side and then applying them to the bow hunting side. And now look at it. Everybody's got longer stabilizers. They used to run around with those 6-inch rubber things on their bows. Now everything's got a longer stabilizer for stability because it helps, because it works. A lot more guys are out there hunting with hinges, which back, I remember when they told you, never hunt with a hinge, you know, and that's all he hunts with, you know, him, Bo, you know, these guys going to back tension, different releases and different things.
we're playing off of that in this world now, but now we want to take that and create a structure with that combination of things. So we will have a structure as bow hunters to fall back on and not just go, well, the archery guys do it. I mean, we have, ultimately we have a similar goal to hit the spot. Their spot's a little bit tighter than, you know, our spot, but our spot is still got to hit the spot, right?
So yeah,
using some of those and then making them work, I mean, that's what it's all about. It's just getting better.
So this one, I think this one will be a bit of a long series of questions. So to find Alpha online, where are people looking?
Yeah, so alphabowhunting.com is a website, and right now that's where all the event information as well as the coaching information. Basically what happened was when I started doing Train to Hunt years ago, and I mentioned a lot of friends that I met in the community, it was great because I was a competitor, but quickly a lot of people started, and then I owned the shop at that point, and I was competing nationally, so a lot of people started to immediately look to me for advice or questions within whether, hey, man, is this set up right, or should I consider this? And they're like, man, I'd really love to support you, but I have a shop that I shoot out of Idaho or Arizona. So I said, you know, why can't I create a brand that's wider stretching than my pro shop of No Limits Archery, right? I'm going to create a brand that, and it started as Championship Bow Hunting, and then it evolved into Alpha Bow Hunting as we created the more structure in the event as well as the coaching side of it. So that's where No Limits Archery is our home base. It's, you know, Braden titled it, it's an archery academy, right? Or it's an archery campus.
Campus, yeah.
And it's a great name. It's a great title for what we do here, because in addition to the bow hunting courses, the offerings we have two of the highest level JOAD coaches in the nation here, you know, that coach our JOAD program. And one of them's one of the junior USAT teams. I mean, so we have, it's not just bow hunting base. It's not just target base now. We've got a great outdoor range and a great indoor range. The staff that works here is very knowledgeable. So the archery campus that is our home base is here in Denver. The Alpha stuff is something that we're directly going to be looking to grow and possibly travel to do some of these workshops next year, because to think that we can't help bow hunters from Utah or Arizona or California or, you know, Kansas. I mean, this methodology, this coaching applies anywhere you got a bow in your hand and you're chasing animals, you know, how you plug yourself. Because that's the thing is you were using you and your moving parts and your capabilities. And again, I don't like to use limitations, but your capabilities to then grow and to plug yourself into that. It's based off that. It takes all the variables and it lines them out, and it shows you how to organize them and how to use perspective to put things in. And you're in control. You're in the driver's seat. No, I don't want to do that. Or, yeah, I'll take that shot. You know, we talk about frontal shots. We take about quartering two shots. And some people,
what's
like,
the favorite shot? The Texas
Texas hard shot. We talk about everything. And it's like one person's going to say, I'll never take that shot. And the next person's like, I'll take that shot all day long as it's at this distance or closer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, as long as you can, like Braden says, you need to commit to something and you need to decide. And if you're using, you know, as much knowledge and education as you can to come to that decision, who am I to tell you you're wrong, right? I can't tell you you're wrong. You know, when you go out and shoot an animal in the woods, who's there to know it? You and the animal, usually. So you need to be able to self-reflect and self-discipline and self-regulate as much as you can. But if at the end of the day you commit to that shot because you decided that's a shot I think I can make and I've practiced and I'm going to do it, hey, man, I'm here to support you. But I want you to know, and I want you to really fall back on, it's not just shooting from the hip that got you to that decision. So So Alpha Bow Hunting is something that we're going to be at two TAC events this year. We're going to be in South Dakota, which is probably around the time that this one's going to go then, which is June 22nd.
22nd, yeah, 22nd, yep. Yeah.
And then we're going to be doing an exhibition, Alpha Rounds, at the Snowbird event in Utah in July. So that's we're starting to kind of reach out a little bit more with the event. If I get the opportunity to do something that would be like a seminar at some of those events or a workshop at one of some of those events in conjunction with what we're doing, best of both worlds, I'd love to be able to do that. So we're exploring many options. There's always a lot of irons in the fire. These guys know.
It's
tongue in cheek over there, right?
It's ironic. I'm the one who says commitment. I'm the one with commitment issues. So
yeah,
it's
right,
always
right.
ironic.
Phil's got
that.
The big grin on his face over there. So looks like you can expect.
I think
some
he has gummy bears
from...
in his pocket. Do you have gummy bears in your pocket, man? Is that?
I stepped on a.
Oh, he's always got snacks. So I figured he had a hole in his pocket.
When you got a couple of young boys, man. It's like bringing snacks for your pets, right? You gotta.
I don't know if it's for just for them. He likes to snack, man. He's
fruit
a snacker.
Snacks don't make it very far in my house.
Really?
No, they don't.
Be hiking up the mountain with him, and I look back. Oh, you're eating again, huh?
Yeah. Got to carb up energy, man.
Man.
Where you guys hunt sometimes.
AlphaBowHunting.com on the World Wide Web, Facebook, Instagram.
Yeah,
as
Alpha
well.
Bowhunting on Instagram, Alpha Bowhunting on Facebook. We are running live feeds at our challenges for the semifinal and final rounds on Facebook, and that stays recorded. So anybody wants to go to Facebook and look at at this point, the first event's up. By the time this goes up, our second event should be up. And like I said, it's about an hour and 15, hour and 20 minute feed of commentary, kind of sportscast style of the event, broadcast style of the semifinal and final rounds. It's fun to watch, man. We got music playing. It's
here we are live.
I mean,
semifinal rounds of the Women's Open.
I like when they go live because I get to be the step-in MC.
Right.
There you go. So now if people wanted to find No Limits.
Yeah, NoLimitsArchery.com. That we do have an online store there. We have not all of our products online, but we have quite a few of our products online. You know, crispy boots, some of the other stuff we're going to be loading, some of the new gear we have up there. That gives you links to the in-house workshops if somebody's here close enough where they want to come into the workshops. But yeah, so I mean that's more on the informational side from the facility. The Alpha is more on the information for the events and the workshops.
And No Limits also Facebook, Instagram.
Yep.
Facebook and Instagram.
Now, if people wanted to follow all y'all's adventures individually, where can they find you?
How many Instagram handles do you have now? Three?
I'm trying to just use Alpha Bow Hunting, man. I've got a couple Instagram well, three with No Limits, but Braden's kind of helped me drive the ship with the No Limits and grow that one Instagram, but he's also got his own.
At Braden 1 or something like that? I can't remember. Braden _1, something like
I
that.
I had the same problem.
I can't when remember. I don't look at my own Instagram.
How are you
going to
make me work? I got to fill out the show notes page. And then this is going to be a long one with links, I tell you what. But going to have to go look you up now.
Hey, didn't
and you still, even after recording yesterday, you still don't remember your Instagram handle?
I do now. It's Brian Horton _fit for the hunt.
There we go.
And then if you also want to follow us at Fit for the Hunt, it's just Fit for the Hunt, and that's Fit the number 4, the hunt. And that's what our handle is for Instagram and Facebook and YouTube. And it's www.fitforthehunt.com if you want to join our community and sign up for a free membership and support us that way or buy some swag or, you know, or see some announcements and see what we got going on with our next few events and or the Fit for the Hunt throwdowns that
come
are
play at the next
part
alpha
of the alpha.
We're in the throwdown. And
there's just a lot to this training for what we do, right? We can't recreate the moment of truth. You can't do it. But you can you can take aspects of your hunt, fitness side, Fit for the Hunt. You know, shooting under pressure, the Alpha Challenge. There's other avenues, you know, the TAC events we shot last year. That's an incredibly good training exercise for mountain shooting.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, you take all those little parts and pieces and you treat them right and you train on them right, they're going to put you in the best position to be successful.
I know.
Just
Sam,
be prepared to invest in arrows.
Sam, yes, be prepared to invest
in arrows. Got rid
of
a couple
arrows.
Boxes, didn't you, in Utah?
Oh, yeah. Good things. I met Isaac Ellman at that event. otherwise, I would have been hurting a lot more afterwards. Thank you very much, Isaac.
And you have those long, long arms where you can scratch the bottom of your kneecaps.
Oh, yeah, they're all laughing at my...
So you're like a 32-inch draw or something?
30, I think I'm a 30-and-a-half-inch draw. Something like that. I'm blanking on it now, but yeah, no, I can scratch my knees without having to bend over at all. So as we're closing out here, I always like to end with... once again, this podcast is really focused on people either that don't have a background in hunting or just new hunters in general or folks from the city that don't have the resources. Like, say, if you lived out here and easy access, somebody comes up to you, says, Phil or Braden or Brian, I really want to do this, but it's just I don't feel like I can or I'm intimidated, whatever that is. What encouragement or words of wisdom would you guys have for them?
You got something good?
You go ahead.
I do. DBAP.
What's that?
DBAP. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's. I think that if they listen to the, and I haven't heard it. I've just heard, right? But the Frank and Aaron podcast might have plenty of inappropriate name bombs there. But
it's a health announcement, right?
Yeah.
Right. Jeez. Right.
No, I would
Dr.
probably.
Dr. Frank.
Right. Right.
I would probably encourage people to. It's easier said than done, right? But don't be afraid to step out of your comfort zone a little bit, because anytime you're going to achieve growth in anything, you're going to have to get a little bit uncomfortable. The one thing that I'll tell you is the bow hunting community is probably one of the more welcoming communities of any I've been a part of. So if you probably don't have to ask more than three people for help, because you're probably going to find it within one of those three people, and whether it's the right help or the right direction, we'll see how that goes.
Well, and depending on what you're asking, all three of them could be right and completely different
Correct.
Answers.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
So I just, again, don't be afraid to step out into that, world of being uncomfortable, because initially when you're learning stuff, it's going to seem possibly uncomfortable. But after that, man, I tell you what, it's just, there's so much good. That's why I decided to... One of the biggest reasons to start this type of business is because I told my wife, I want to raise my kids within this community, because what I had experienced up to that point was enough for me to say, even though the stories get a little bit obnoxious behind the counter sometimes, to have my kids grow up in this atmosphere. And I got two boys that are here a lot. And that should say enough in itself, right? Is that's just, it's a family type atmosphere. For sure.
Ask questions. Don't be afraid to ask questions. I mean, I was fortunate enough to be put into positions where I was around people, like Phil and like Aaron and like some other guys, good friends up north, Brandon and Caleb at Dirty North. I was blessed to be in a position, but I just asked questions and kept sticking my nose in there, like, probably to the point of annoyment, but you know what I mean?
It was there,
but I'm charming too. So, but it's just ask questions. Don't be afraid to ask questions. And like Phil said, it's just being able to get out of your comfort zone. We're never going to be the best we can be if we're never out of our comfort zone. We're just going to stay at that limit, right? If we're not putting ourselves in uncomfortable positions and putting ourselves where we struggle with something and have to work through it, you got to be prepared to get uncomfortable, and that's perfectly okay. Everything's going to be okay, in the end. So ask questions. Don't be afraid to get uncomfortable. I think those are two of the best pieces of advice for people getting into it.
Well, one more thing for perspective, right? Just for perspective's sake. Bow hunting and archery is not that big yet to where, if you look at something that's huge, like professional sports, basketball, for example, when are you going to go and go to your rec center and shoot hoops next to LeBron James or Michael Jordan? Probably never going to happen, right? It just won't happen. I mean, it's just not realistic, not practical. You can legitimately go to your local pro shop range. You may be shooting next to one of the top shooters in the world and not even know it. Okay, so from a perspective standpoint, it's still that small. Small enough to know that, and to think that one of those people that you may ask a question to, maybe one of those people that are amongst the top shooters in the world. So, again, it's hard to know who they are if you don't know the world, but it's very possible. Because
might have to Google them?
You might afterwards, man. After you go shoot it from the range every day, you might be Googling everybody to find out who they are. But it's just to keep it in perspective. Just don't be intimidated, because you're probably going to psych yourself out more than anything. It's just...
Well, yeah, you know, to give you my perspective on, I guess, what my advice would be is, there's going to be discouraging moments, but don't get discouraged. Try to remember why you started this to begin with. You know, go back to the beginning, the positive attitude you had, the excitement that you had, and the reasons you got into it to begin with. And just realize, you know, there's going to be a lot you don't know. There's a lot Phil doesn't know. There's a lot Braden doesn't know. Mm-hmm. There's way more that I don't know than these two. But just remember, that's going to happen. But the fun part is overcoming that challenge. So there are going to be discouraging moments, but don't get discouraged.
Oh, I had a discouraging moment yesterday, man, shooting. I was not shooting well yesterday. So, but it's good. I mean, now I know, right? Right? I tested myself. And I'm like, okay, I see where I'm at. I'm not where I need to be. I need to work. Right. So
yeah, I didn't have any discouraging moments shooting yesterday.
That's because you didn't shoot enough.
Hey, I shot twice.
Was that the third target that happened?
Yeah, it was the third target. Oh, man. But, guys, thank you so much for hopping on the podcast. I really appreciate
thanks
it.
Thanks for having us, man.
Yeah.
It's
been again. Fun, man.
It's yeah, thanks fun. For the road trip coming out here.
Oh, of course.
All right, y'all, that'll do it for episode 74 of Living Country in the City. Make sure y'all head on over to our show notes page at livingcountryinthecity.com/74 to check out links to everything we talked about in today's episode. But in the meantime, keep it country, y'all.
Thank y'all for listening to Living Country in the City. Get show notes and check out the blog, product reviews, events, and more at livingcountryinthecity.com.
I'm Will Cooper, host of Hunt Stand's Make Your Mark podcast. If you haven't already, download the free Waypoint TV app to listen to our podcast and watch the original films from Hunt Stand Presents anywhere, anytime, and on any device. You're listening to the Waypoint Podcast Network, brought to you in part by Hunt Stand, the number one hunting and land management app.